2 Corinthians, starting chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, like I said earlier, we could come in, teach on gifts, anointings, faith, power, healing, you know, all these different things, and they're all going to be spokes out of the hub of this. In other words, once you get this, all the other stuff will work, right? And if you remember during the DHT, I even told you that if you would take the principles that we teach in the DHT and apply them to deliverance or finances or, you know, whatever else you want to apply them toward, they will work because they're Bible. And the Bible should work around across the board. This is the essence of why it works, okay? Because everything goes back to what Jesus did for us. And the more you focus on Him and what He did and what it provided for us, the less you focus on you and the more Christ-centered this gets and the more we exalt Him, and this thing will get to a place where obviously man's involved, but you really will get away from this super Christian idea. You know, let's get to this super anointed man of God. I'll drive this far to go see him and that kind of stuff. I mean, there's still purposes for the fivefold ministry and all that going on. But the bottom line is, that this is about Christ and what He did. Amen? So we always want to go back to Christ. We always want to point it back to Christ. So here, for instance, I just wrote as a note here, the Divine Healing Technician Training Seminars we conduct around the world have quite literally transformed the way healing is practiced and ministered. As we minister in various churches and denominations and networks, etc., I've noticed that the people that embrace the Bible teaching on healing and power the fastest are those that have been well trained in the realities of the new birth. Now, we also see this, that the people that seem to grab a hold of the fastest also are those that either have a military or even a law enforcement background, because they understand the principle of authority. And Jesus said to the centurion, he had the greatest faith, and the centurion just said, well, I know authority. I understand authority. I see that you have authority. And if you speak, it'll work. If I speak, this guy will do that. And so authority is the key to faith. You want to know how to walk in faith? Find out about authority. Now, the problem is there are many people that teach authority. But almost every one of them teach at some point. It sounds good, but if you listen to enough of their stuff, you'll find that they will short authority. In other words, they will limit the authority. And again, this goes back to a misunderstanding of why we have authority. See, if we take away, sooner or later I'll be doing this with maybe dry erase boards or, you know, some type of visual aids here. If you go the old way of looking at this person is anointed, he's special, he's powerful, and I'm not, then you will have that idea. And because of that, you'll look at authority and you'll say, well, he has more authority than I do. But if you understand what we're teaching here and what we started teaching in the Divine Healing Technician, you'll realize, take you out of the picture. See, that's the big fault. This is one of the things that prove that the teaching on special giftings and anointings and all that kind of stuff, this is what proves it's wrong. It's because it always draws attention to a man. It always lifts a man up. It always says, this guy, you know, he's special. He's this or that. No. You know, he has authority and he has more authority than I do. And I've even heard that taught. Well, you know, you be faithful in the little things and he'll give you authority over this. Okay, well, the Bible says that if you are faithful, that he will put you over. But it wasn't the idea of authority so much as it was influence, responsibility. So when you realize that what we've done is we have lifted people up and said, well, they must have been faithful because they're at this position and I'm over here, and, you know, I just got to be faithful at going to church and paying my tithes. And if I'm faithfully doing that, then eventually God will promote me. That's not the way promotion comes. Promotion comes two ways, or a combination of two ways. One is by revelation, and coupled with that is obedience to revelation. That's how you're promoted. There is a, now, obedience to revelation. First, you have to have revelation. What I mean by that, I'm not talking about some special thing where it goes bing and it wasn't there and now it is, and all of a sudden now you're different. Revelation comes primarily, especially in our day, by going in and studying the Word of God. And the more you study, the more revelation comes. So again, it's up to you. Now, when you study it, at some point, you must become obedient to the revelation. That's what Paul said. I was not disobedient to that heavenly vision. No, he had a vision, he had a revelation, and he was obedient. And he remained obedient throughout the remainder of his life. And because of that, he was given bigger and bigger and bigger influence, greater influence. He was increased to the point where finally the devil says, we got to stop this. You hear what he's preaching? He's talking about making people like Jesus. So we need to stir, we need to kill him. We need to stir up some people that are religious that'll go after him. And that's what he did. And then that was, eventually he stirred up this religious spirit and a bunch of religious people that went after Paul. They stoned him. They whipped him. He was shipwrecked. He was beat. He was left for dead at one point where they stoned him with stones to try to kill him. All of that was part of that thorn in the flesh that he said was given to him because of his many revelations. Now, it wasn't sick. Not once does he ever mention sickness or disease. And yet, that's the one thing people think it is. It's not even mentioned anywhere in there that he was sick or anything like that. And yet, that's the one thing we jump on and go, oh, you know, it had to be this, had to be that. And the Bible didn't say that. Whenever he said very clearly, here's the things I've suffered because of my revelation. Then he said, because of my many revelations, I was given a thorn in the flesh. A messenger sent from Satan, not sent from God, to keep him humble. It said that Satan sent a messenger to keep him from influence. It says so that he would not be exalted beyond measure. In other words, if you go back and look at that term, exalted beyond measure, what that means is literally, it's phenomenal. If people would just read, it just amazes me. Because all it means is, I had to fight for every inch of ground we took. That's all it means. He said that I would not be exalted above measure. In other words, it wasn't just a walkover. I didn't just walk in here and preach, oh, it was wonderful and you loved me and the devil just backed off and ran. No. He said, this thing was given me to try to keep me from advancing, to try to keep me from going. I mean, imagine if everywhere you went, you were whipped or beaten or stoned. I mean, that might make you think twice before you say goodbye the next time. You know? Well, here we go again. Is there anything else I need to do before I leave? Let me think. You know, did we leave the stove on? Let's go back and check the stove, because I mean, you wouldn't be in a big hurry to get out there, you know, if you knew that when you got to the other end, there was going to be trouble. And that's all he was saying. He said, I know when I go there, I'm going to fight for every inch. I'm going to have to go there and fight this thing. And he said, but I was not unfaithful. I was not disobedient. He said, God gave me a revelation. He gave me a wisdom. He gave me understanding of his mysteries that were hidden. And I have a responsibility. He even says that at one point. I know I got you in 2 Corinthians 5, so I'm not going to tell you to turn. I'm going to turn. Just real quickly, if you want to, you can. It's just in two books over into Romans. But just make sure you hold your place. We're going right back to 2 Corinthians 5. But in Romans chapter 1, verse 14, Paul says, actually, verse 13, he said, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come to you, but was hindered up till now. In other words, the devil fought him from, I want to come to you, but man, the devil just keeps hindering me. That's literally what it means. So, and the reason I want to come is so that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. You hear that? The reason I want to come is so I can have some fruit among you. I want to be able to look at you later and go, yeah, I went there and I labored. And I did not labor in vain. They picked it up. They ran with it. They did some good. Amen? See, our whole idea of just Christianity, for the most part, is just so messed up. Oh, you shouldn't want, you know, that. You shouldn't want, you know, Paul was wrong for wanting fruit among them. He should have been satisfied where he's at. No, he had the gospel. You should never be satisfied with the gospel. You understand what I mean by that? Never satisfied with where it's at. Always advance. Always advancing. Never settling. Never relaxing in the sense, now, understand, I'm not talking about not resting. You rest in God, but you don't stop moving forward. Runners call it in the zone. At one place, when you start exercising, it's easier to keep going than it is to stop. Why? Because you get in that zone. And it's like you're being carried. If you pray in tongues much, you know what I'm talking about. There comes a time when you're praying in tongues, it's easier to keep praying in tongues than it is to actually stop. You say, I've never reached that. Push on. Keep on going till you do reach it. Why? Because that's whenever the Spirit really picks it up and carries it. And that's whenever you start breaking away this veil of the flesh and the Spirit starts breaking out and all of a sudden things start getting done. And at that point, you're starting to affect things around you, and it's not just for edification for yourself where you're trying to maintain and get strong and built up. You're actually starting to change things. And that's when it gets good. Now, he says here in verse 14, I am debtor. You hear that? But Paul said, to owe no man anything but to love him. But here he says, I'm a debtor. To do what? Both to the Greeks, to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. I have a debt that I have to pay. Why? Because there was given me something. And the only way to pay it back is to pay it forward. The only way to pay back what was done for me is to put it out there, is to release it to other people. He said, I'm a debtor. I owe these people. I have something. God gave it to me. And because I freely received, I got to freely give. I'm a debtor to all men. Then he says in verse 15, So as much as in me is, I am ready. You hear that? He's a debtor. Then he says, I am ready. Something you hardly ever hear any Christian ever say. They always go, I'm not ready. Well, why not? Because I'm not praying enough. Okay, how much is enough? I don't know. All right. Whatever it is not enough. How do you know it's not enough? Because they always tell me to pray more. No. Sometimes you should stop praying and start believing. John Lake used to say that. I mentioned that in some of the other meetings we had. John Lake used to, they would have prayer meetings and it would be awesome and the power of God would be there, and then he would stop and say, all right, we prayed. Now let's just take 5 minutes and believe God. Now think about that. See, you can pray. And at one time he even said, I have a book that material that I've collected over the years of his writings from Africa. We're trying to get it into the bookstores here, as a matter of fact, now. And in that book, he said, on page 99, he had a deal called An Education in Faith. And in that, he said, I'm convinced that we pray and pray and pray. And he said, and you will eventually pray yourself into unbelief. And think about that. Praying yourself into unbelief. You know why? Because most people use prayer as an excuse to not have to do something. I'm just called to pray. No, you're not. Ain't nobody just called to pray. You're called to pray and do. Right? Now, you should pray before you do. But even John Lake, at one time, some people came to him and they had all the religious thing and they were trying to tell him, you know, oh, brother, you're doing too much. You know, you're doing all this in the flesh. Really? People are getting healed. Yeah, but it's in the flesh. Really? How does that work? We had some people that were friends of ours that had got a hold of our material, and they were working in some healing rooms at an extremely well-known ministry out in Redding, California. Just narrow it down for you. And at one point, they were getting more people healed than the other people there. And so finally, the leaders called them together and said, y'all need to stop. You need to leave the healing rooms. You can't pray here anymore. And they said, why not? We're getting more people healed. People are getting healed. It's good. Yeah, well, you're not relying on the anointing and on the Holy Spirit enough. They said, well, then how are they getting healed? Who's doing the healing if we're not relying on the anointing and relying on the Holy Spirit? Well, you know, we just want to bring them in and let them soak for a while and let them hear some music and hear some scriptures. And, you know, we're just trying to create an atmosphere. Really? Why don't you try to create faith? You don't need an atmosphere. You need faith in God. That's what you need. You need to put faith in God, and you either need to give it to the people or you need to give them what they don't have faith for. You ought to have faith for them. Amen? You know, people say, well, you shouldn't talk that way. Well, it's like John Osteen, not Joel, his father John, okay? A preacher. John used to say, if I'm rubbing the cat the wrong way, let him turn around. Right? That's just the way I feel about it, you know? Religious people don't like what I'm saying. Tough. Change. Get out of religion and into relationship with Christ. Makes a big difference. But you're too arrogant. No. See, faith always looks like arrogance to a religious person. You know why? Because they're not walking in it. And what they're not walking in, they try to blast. At some point, you have to know who you are. And who you are is who this book says you are, not what some man tells you you are. Right? Somebody looks at you and goes, oh, you're a prophet. Really? Yeah. Okay, we'll see. Right? A tree produces fruit. A prophet tree should produce a prophet fruit. If you're not producing prophet fruit, quit calling yourself prophet. You're non-profit. Right? That's it. So, Dr. Summerall used to always tell us, an apple tree doesn't need a sign on it to know it's an apple tree. You don't have to have a tag. Amen? Just do the work. Get the job done. And honestly, just so you know, I don't care if you're male or female. According to Galatians, it says there is neither male nor female. In Christ Jesus, we're all one. Isn't that right? So I don't care what you are. If you can do the job, you got the position. People say, well, I've had men. Well, I'm not going to sit under a woman teacher. Okay, bye. They want me to change. No, I'm not going to bye. I value her more than I do you. You're a do-nothing who wants to sit there and gripe about people. She's doing something. She's busy. Amen? Now, I understand there are, parameters and things that need to be done. But we need to realize, too, we're talking about out of the Spirit, not out of the flesh. Hereafter, we know no man after the flesh. Well, once you don't know people after the flesh, you can't talk male or female. Because as soon as you mention male or female, all of a sudden it's after the flesh again. Right? After the Spirit, there is neither male nor female. Amen? Not sure I got y'all convinced. We'll see how Australia goes. Dr. Cho said, if you want to start a church, send a woman. Because women can get men to do anything. So, now, notice he says, I'm debtor. Verse 15, he says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. I'm ready. I'm ready to preach, he said. I'm a debtor to all men, and I'm ready to preach. Then in verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. You hear that? He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. What is the good news? His death, burial, and resurrection. His entrance of the kingdom of God. Isn't that right? The death, burial, and resurrection. The good news of Jesus Christ is the power of God. See? Oh, we need more power. Yeah, okay. Let me take you back to T.L. Osborne. T.L. Osborne one time was sitting on a platform somewhere. Had a bunch of, it was a big pastor's meeting. And they were all there and they had the music and they had all the stuff going on. And all these pastors were there crying out to God and saying, oh God, oh God. And there was a man sitting next to him on the platform. And T.L. Osborne didn't know that the man next to him was recording what was going on. And so he's sitting there and all these pastors were all crying out, and leaders, not just pastors, but leaders too. They were all crying out, oh God, we need power. God send the power. Oh God, we need some power. T.L. Osborne leaned over and says, they keep calling for power, but it's not power. They don't need more power. They need more gospel. You get that? You don't need more power. You need more gospel. The gospel is the power. You want more power? Get more gospel. Get more truth about His death, burial, and resurrection. That's why I'm here this weekend, to give you information about that death, burial, and resurrection and what took place in it. That's where the power is. See, it's that resurrection that brought Him out from the dead. Isn't that right? You know what that means? See, we scan over this stuff. We just read it. Oh, it brought Him out from among the dead. He went down. And we say the Apostles' Creed. And we have this neat little thing. I believe in the Father, creator of heaven and earth. And believe in the Son. And we stand and we just go through the motions. And it says how He descended into the earth for 3 days. Oh, yeah. And then He came back out. Oh, praise God. Are you kidding me? It said that He totally spoiled. You know what spoiling something is? I mean, that you didn't even leave them with their clothes on, right? You took everything they had and said, and they look at you and you go, you just leave me with a shirt on my back. Oh, thank you. I'll take that too. You see? He spoiled principalities and powers and dominions and thrones. He spoiled them. They're beaten. They're defeated. That's what happened when he came out of the dead. They did their best to hang on to him. And yet as much their total combined power was trying to hold him and keep him from being raised from the dead. And he burst out of there without a bit of problem. And the Bible says that that's how much power is working in you. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that was exercised toward bringing him out of the dead, knocking the hands of the devil off of him, totally freeing him from any claims that the devil tried to have, completely set him free. That's how much power is at work in you. That's the power in you. And if the devil couldn't hold him, he can't hold you. Why? Because you were in him. When he died, you died. When he was buried, you were buried. When he was raised from the dead, you were raised from the dead. To walk in newness of life. Not to walk the same old life defeated. Not to walk the same old life before and going back into sin. And yet now you can run back across the river every now and then and go, "Oh, I'm sorry, Father. Yeah, forgive me. I'll be right back." And you want to run back over into sin again. It broke the power of sin. Sin has no power over you. Do you understand that? Sin has no dominion over you. It has no authority over you. You sin now because you want to. Simple as that. Not because, "Well, the devil made me do it." No, he didn't. You probably got there and got it done before the devil even knew you were there. Right? You got to realize, I think some Christians have taught the devil some things. You know? We got a kind of a running joke about, you know, everything's a demon. This is a demon, that's a demon. You know, can't find your hairbrush. Oh, it's a hairbrush demon. Where'd it go? You know, it all goes, you know. And I think sometimes the devil's standing and go, "Ooh, hairbrush demon, that's a good idea." You know? You got people always looking for devils everywhere. I don't know about you, they try to find me. Sometimes, and when they find out where I'm at, then they try to run the other way. Sometimes, usually. You know, some you have to run off. But you need to realize, whenever he was raised from the dead, there has never, even the very act of creation, when this whole universe and everything in it was formed, even that burst of power was nothing compared to the burst of power that was released in Jesus that raised him from the dead. That's how much power is in you. That's the Spirit. The Spirit that raised him from the dead, it says in Romans chapter 8, if that same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwell in you, then that same Spirit they raised him up from the dead. Shall quicken, make alive, heal your mortal body. Isn't that amazing? You don't need hands laid on you. You need word put into you. You need to listen. You don't even need revival. You need to awake to righteousness. You need to awake to what was done in you. You need to awake to what was purchased for you through Christ Jesus and rest in what he did, not what you did. "Oh, I've fasted. I've prayed. Oh, I've done. I've tithed. Oh, I've done. I help. You know, every Sunday I go down to the aged home and I help them." That's all good, and you should do that. What do you want, a pat on the back? Who cares? Those are all good things. They don't mean anything to God other than the fact, in other words, what I mean by that is they don't get you any brownie points with God. You understand? They don't make you like, or should say, they don't make God like you or dislike you. You understand that? Jesus. I see these books. I know they mean well. But you know, I think some people ought to quit writing books and start reading one. Because they don't read the book and they talk about, you know, how to get favor with God. Oh, we need favor with God. I got favor with God when Jesus died for me. That's when I got favor with God. Do you understand? It's not what I do. It's not the things that I did. You know, I have people all the time, "Well, you know, after I became a Christian, I got filled with the Holy Ghost and I quit smoking, I quit drinking, and I quit hanging out in the bars all night." And I always look at them like, "Ain't you something? Wow. You gave up so much for God. Drinking, smoking, hanging out with people that'll get you in trouble." My dad was a cop all my life. He used to say, after midnight, there's only two kinds of people outside. Cops and crooks. So if they see you and you ain't a cop, you're getting pulled over. Simple as that. Because they assume you're the crook. And people tell, "Well, I gave up smoking for Jesus." You should have gave it up a long time ago, you stink pot. I'm just quoting Dowie. That's what Dowie called them, stink pots. Yeah, you gave us you gave up so much. You gave us something that was killing you. You gave up something that was not only killing you, but making half the people around you wish you'd hurry up and die, so they could actually breathe clean air. You say, well, that's mean. Right, somebody's got to talk to you straight. Amen? I'm here 3 days and I'm gone. Amen? Amen. Amen. As long as you have meat. No vegetables. Amen. Now, does this make sense to you, though? That's how much power was released in you. When you got born again, that same spirit that did that, not this much of that spirit, him, he came to dwell in you. Well, I don't understand that. Good, you don't have to. You know, honestly, I don't understand how electricity really works. I've had people try to explain it to me. I guess I didn't care enough to really listen. But I don't know how it works, but guess what? I can flip on a switch, right? And that's all that counts, as long as it comes on when I flip on a switch. You know, I know, do that and check the breaker. If that don't work, I'm calling somebody. Right? Well, that's what you need to realize. What was done in you, this life in you, it's greater than anything you can imagine. You don't even know who you are. You don't know what's been available. Maybe you have an idea of different things. But my goodness, let's look at some of these. Okay, notice what he said. I'm a debtor. I'm ready to preach. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because that's the power. Amen? Need more power? Get more gospel. Simple as that. Now, you don't need either. But I'm just telling you, if that's what you're going to cry out for, then go for gospel. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's look at these very quickly. Starting in verse... Actually, I'm going to read a couple of notes here. It says, when we are born again, there are some things that take place automatically, and some things we must activate or cause to come to fruition and reality in our lives. Some things are automatically done, other things we have to bring to pass. There are certain point-blank statements that must be believed and acted upon for us to see the changes in our lives that the Bible says should be in the life of everyone who claims to be of God. So let's look at a couple of these statements. Now, these are not, oh, that'll be good. Well, I mean, unless you're not born again. Right? Look, there's only two families. God's and the devil's. Right? You're either a child of God or a child of the devil. It's that simple. And don't take anybody else's word for it. Right? Take God's word for it. Let Him tell you who you are. Amen? You can look at the Word of God and He'll tell you who you are. Don't listen to other people. They don't know what's going on inside of you. They don't know what happens sometimes, right, inside of a person. But now notice, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, I want to... Yeah, actually we're going to go back. I have to figure out where. There we go. Yeah, go to verse 14. For the love of Christ constrains us. You hear that? The love of Christ should push you, constrain you, corral you, and push you in that direction. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, Jesus, for all of us, then we're all dead. Right? Now, if you're dead, you can't talk about yourself. Right? You can't be talking always, well, you know, when I did this, well, when I did that. You can't do that, because you're dead. Now you have to talk about what Jesus did. And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Now see, that's part of this destroying this self-help gospel, and this gospel that says, you know, Jesus died to make you the employee of the month. No, He didn't. He died to make you a son for eternity. It's a lot better than being employee of the month. Amen? If I can just get you to get a glimpse of what Jesus has provided for you and who you are in Him, I'm telling you, I don't know how to tell you any other way. It will absolutely change your life and everybody's lives around you. You'll begin to walk different. You'll talk different. You'll hold yourself different. That's one of the things I love about T.L. Osborne. Been around preaching for 50, 60 years. Amazing ministry. Always the same. Always told everybody, we should lift people. You want to give people dignity. Just love people. I mean, just always lifting up. He didn't come in and blast people down and put them down. Oh, you dirty dog. Oh, you're no good. No, you were. But even if you are now, guess what? I got news for you. It's better on this side. Come on over. Amen? I don't have to tell you what you are. Everybody in your life has told you what you were all your life. They've all told you what you were. They told you everything you've ever done. I don't need to remind you. If you want to change that, get right with God, guess what? Instantly it changes. And then once that happens, no man can hold anything against you. No man can put up anything and go, well, you know how you are. Well, yeah, but you know how he is. No, I don't. I don't know him. Now watch this. Let's read this next part. He says, and that he died for all, verse 15, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. You hear that? You are not supposed to live for yourself. Oh, you know, Jesus died so I can be wealthy. He died so I can have peace. He died so... Now, you know, there's some truth to that. Oh, he died so I can have a comfortable life. He died, you know, just so that I can be blessed. No, you got to understand, it's not about you. It was about you till you got saved. Now it's about them that aren't saved. You understand? You don't live for yourself. You don't live to yourself. That's one of the things. You ought to all go back... I have to qualify this. You should read a lot of Charles Finney. Now, Finney was big on law. I mean, but just black and white. You know what I mean? Just right down the line. So if you read it, you have to follow it with a E.W. Kenyon chaser. Right? And what that means is you have to read some two kinds of righteousness or two kinds of faith, something like that. Because Finney will get you almost into condemnation. But he used to say this, and I always like this because it really, you know, sometimes you just need to be woken up. But he said, if you spend more on tea and coffee in a year than you do on missions, don't even say you're saved. Think about that. He said, how can you say you're saved when you spend more on tea and coffee for your convenience and for your comfort than you would spend on missions, clothing the orphans, feeding the orphans, helping people, starting Bible schools, starting... You see what I'm saying? I'm not telling you that you ought to just give away every dime you own and live, you know, in the poverty level. I'm not saying that at all. Matter of fact, I see that even the fact that you may think along those lines prove you don't know God. Because you can't give away everything you own and die in the poverty level. Why? Because whatever you sow, you will reap. And whatever you give up, he'll give you 100 times over. Amen? He will bless you. And when you take a... It's amazing. See the Bible, even the scriptures tell us that he has supplied all my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Isn't that right? Now, the thing is, you look at the people in the world, you say, where is that happening? Well, all you have to do is start making their needs your needs. If he supplied all your needs, take their needs. Once their needs become your needs, now their needs will get met too. Why? Because it's your needs and he'll supply all your needs. Amen? You say, well, I've barely got enough for me and my family. Well, I can tell you right now, you can sit there and hang on to it till you die. So that little bit that you're hanging on to ain't going to help you anyway. Amen? You got to start reaching lives. You got to start touching people and speaking into people's lives and helping people. And, you know, I mean, this flood situation, it's a prime thing. All the way up here, we saw the things, you know, flood help and we need help and things like this. And I know there's been a great outpouring. It's wonderful how people have helped and done great things. But the church should be leading that. You know, the people shouldn't have to turn to the government for that. The church should have been the first ones there. The church, and in many cases, I know they were. All right, so I'm not blasting it. I'm just stating a point. We need to lead the world in just benevolence, in giving, and feeding. It is amazing. You go back and look at people like William Booth and what they started with the Salvation Army and all the good they've done. All because a man said when he once was on his way home, saw these people underneath a bridge, didn't have warm clothes, went into his place, looked out the window and could see them underneath the bridge across the way. And when they brought him his tea, he looked at him and said, get that out of my face. Take that away. How dare you bring me something for my comfort when I can look out the window and see people out there that are freezing in the night? He said, don't bring me anything until you go get them. Go get them. Take them blankets. Take them somewhere. Do something. Well, Father, we don't have any... His son Bramwell said, Father, we don't have anywhere to take them. He said, bring them in the house. See, we have to realize, well, this is God's house. God gave us this house. And he get, really? Then why are you so tight with it? I can't let just anybody in here. They'll rob us blind. I thought it was all God's. I'm telling you, God has protected us. He has blessed us. You know, that's why I tell you, you can't steal from me. God will bless me no matter what you do. Amen? Why? Because God is God. He's bigger than you. Amen? And whatever you could do bad to me, He can do a lot better. You know what I'm saying? Not better bad, I'm better good. Come on. Right? But at some point, we have to look like Abraham and talk like Abraham. Say, Lot, you want to go that way? Go that way. If you go that way, I'll go this way. But now, Lot, if you think that's the better way to go, then you go that way and I'll go this way. Why? Because, Lot, no matter where you go, I'm going to go the other way. And no matter where I go, God is with me and I'll be blessed. But see, we always work. Well, we got to find out where the blessing is and get under it. The blessing is in Christ. You don't get under it, you get in it. Amen? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. Amen? At some point, you got to quit reading the Bible and just going, oh, that's pretty. And start believing it. This stuff is real. It'll protect you. By His Spirit, when you realize, no harm shall come near my dwelling. Amen? No plague. And, you know, 1,000 to the left hand, 10,000 to my right won't come near me. Why? For you are with me. And that was an old covenant prophet. And yet, here we are in Christ, and we're worried about everything. Oh, what? You know, we read Luke 10:19. Behold, look, see, take notice. I give you power, authority, to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the ability of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Unless you talk to a Christian. And all of a sudden now, oh, everything. Oh, how can I find the way to be blessed? I got to find where the blessing is. I got to get everything just right. And where everything's just right, then God will show. And, you know, I got to go back and find every curse from my grandfather and great-grandfather. I got to break all that. I got to go with it. When I broke that stuff whenever I got born again. I broke that when I changed families. The devil doesn't have any authority over me. He's been spoiled openly. He's been made a show of. Amen? You know what you need to do? We need to just get in here for about 3 days and not necessarily me just teach. We need to get in here and I need to get you up on your feet and we need to start going through these scriptures and you need to start saying this stuff out and I need to hear it with my own ears to the point where I go, no, that ain't good enough. Stronger. Get louder. See, you need to be trained. I mean, it's not enough just to teach you. I can read scripture to you, but you can read the Bible. Right? We got to get you trained. You got to be able to stand up and be able to say, nothing shall by any means hurt me. Well, I wouldn't say that. The devil here. That's who I want to hear me. Amen? You need to be able to stand up and say that strong. Be able to speak that out and say, what the Lord says is true. His word is true. Devil, you're a liar. His word says, by His stripes I'm healed, so I'm healed. Whether you like it or whether you don't, devil. And you start just saying these things out. Why? Because it's by the acknowledgement of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. In Him, I am sanctified. You know what that means, devil? That means I'm separated from you. That means He moved me away from you and moved me into Him. You know, that's whenever that you start hearing that devil talk in your ear. You know, and you want to look at him and say, shut up. You know, a lot of times he'll talk through somebody else's mouth. And you need to be able to just acknowledge that, you know, to recognize what's going on. You know, sometimes you just need to look at that devil and say, you shut your mouth when you talk to me. Amen? Just shut. Amen? You know, do the devil. Like, one time I was in my pre-Christ years, I was in a nightclub one time, and this drunk guy wanted to fight. I'll never forget it. He came up to me and we were going to fight. We were outside. And I was sober because I never drank anyway. And I went there to have a good time. So I just told him, I said, all right, you want to fight? Yeah, we're going to fight. All right, you go outside, wait for me. If I'm not there in 5 minutes, you start without me. Okay. He walked off. And I don't know whatever happened to him. I never saw him again. Yeah. The devil's not smart. Look, the devil is not big. He's not bad, right? He's evil. But he's not smart. You may have heard me tell you this before, but I want to emphasize it because now it comes in especially with who you are in Christ. You remember when Moses was born and Pharaoh put out a an edict that said all children, 2 and under, dead. Kill them all. And they went through and killed everybody, but Moses was put into a basket and went right into Pharaoh's house. Right? Was raised in Pharaoh's house. Okay, and the devil couldn't find him. Killed a bunch of kids, which just shows what kind of a devil he is. But still, couldn't find the one he was mainly after. All right? Then you look on, devil hadn't changed. You know? Thousands of years later, same thing happens. These three wise men show up at King Herod and say, we've been watching the stars. There is a king born here now. We want to go and worship him. And King Herod says, all right, yeah. Well, when you find him, you come back and tell me, and I'll go worship him too. And then they left, and they went and found him. And it said that they took these, now think about this, three wise men, astrologers, astronomers, if you want to call them that, whatever it is, they watched the stars, and they could tell by these stars where Jesus was born. Then, I mean, think about it, it couldn't have been too hard to find Jesus. All you have to do is go somewhere in that area and say, have you heard any angels singing out in the, you know, out in the fields? Yeah, the other night there was a big racket out there and a lot of light. And so they go in, the angels found him, the shepherds found him, the three wise men found him. And the devil couldn't even find him. So the devil gets into Herod and says, kill them all. Well, we got to kill them all 2 and under. Why? Because we don't know where he's at. Why couldn't the devil find him? See? The devil's not near. The devil isn't even as smart as a human. Humans found him. And the devil couldn't. Amen? So the devil can't find you either. You know why? Because your life is hid with God in Christ. He can't find you. You need to believe that. You need to decide it. See, the problem is you get what you believe. And you've been lied to. You've been told the devil can... anything you do. Oh, that gives the devil authority. Oh, that brings the devil in. Oh, this... No, the only thing that ever lets the devil even hit you is whenever you're in Christ and somehow you open up and go, here I am. You know? And as soon as you stick your face out of Christ and go, ooh, my ministry, my gift, my anointing. Ooh, my... And the devil goes, oh, there you are. What? So as long as you don't talk about your, as long as you talk about him, he don't know who you are. Amen? And he can't even find you. Your life is hid. You get that? He can't even find you. He didn't even, really, for the most part, he didn't even know your past because he don't know who you are now. Right? You're a new creation. Now, what makes you think that he can tag the new creation with the old you? Unless, of course, you do it. You see? You're a new creation. You look like Jesus, talk like Jesus, act like Jesus. For all he knows, you're Jesus. You know? Now, he knows you're not because you always go, well, I ain't Jesus, you know. I ain't perfect. Do you ever realize you don't have to tell anybody that? We all know it. Do you ever realize that? You don't have to tell him a thing. You don't tell anybody anything. See, what you need to realize, if you witnessed a crime and you saw this murder, horrible thing going, and then you go to the police and say, I saw this guy. You saw that guy? Yep, I saw him. Well, we've been wanting him for a long time. He's a major crime boss. Are you sure it was this guy? Oh, I'm positive it's him. Will you testify? Oh, I'd be glad to testify. Yeah, I'm not afraid of him. Really? But you know, he's killed 15 people. Really? You sure? Mm-hmm. Killed 15 people. Cut their throats. Really? Well, you know, it was dark. Does he have a brother that looks like him? Could it maybe have been the brother? Somebody? You see, you start trying to back off. But he said, no. You've pointed him out. Now you're going to go to court. And they said, but don't worry. We'll take care of you. When we get done, you're going to go to court. You're going to testify. And then we're going to ship you off somewhere. We'll give you a new identity. We'll give you a new place to live. We're going to give you a brand new life. That sounds pretty good. You know what they tell you? The only thing is, with this new life, you can't go home. You can't go back. You can't go back and visit. You can't go back and make phone calls and talk to people from your old life. You know why? Because they'll be watching. And as soon as you make that phone call, they're going to know who you are now. And they're going to come after you. Do you realize that's what God did? He put you in his witness protection plan. You get that? The devil doesn't even know who you are, doesn't know where you are, anything. But the problem is you keep going back and visiting who you used to be.
Oh, man, let me tell you what I did one time. You wouldn't believe me. I was so drunk one time, I tell you what, I ain't never been that drunk. He goes, oh, really? You like to drink? Let me make that note. Okay. Well, not anymore. I mean, not anymore. Really? Let's just, let's see. That reminds me of a time. You see? You have to decide. You're a brand new person. A brand new life. You're not who you used to be. Amen? Think on things that are good, pure, good report. Amen? Acknowledge what is in you in Christ Jesus. All these good things. In Him I'm healed. In Him I'm blessed. In Him I'm prosperous. In Him I'm happy. I have peace. Why? Because the peace that He leaves me is not like the world, but it's a peace inside. Amen? And you start believing. You start repeating these things and saying them out loud. Saying them like you mean them. It'll make a change in your life. Now, he says here, well, notice, 2 Corinthians 5:17 gets down into it finally. It said that, well, 15 says, and that he lived for all, or that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them. Hear that? You should live for Christ, not for your own life, for Christ, and rose again. Wherefore, now get this, you need to underline this, mark it, memorize it, talk about it. Wherefore, henceforth, from now on, from this time, what is it? About 4:13. On Friday, what is today? 18th? 19th? 18th? Yeah, 18th. Okay? From this time, 4:15 now, Friday the 18th, 2011. Know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. See, that's the problem. If you get sick in the church today, the first thing they tell you to do is go back to the Gospels. Find the woman with the issue of blood. Be like her. Push through the press. Touch the hem of his garment. No, we don't even know Jesus after the flesh. You know why? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever in essence and who he is. But let me tell you, he's not the same that he was when he walked the earth, in the sense that he was limited to one body, to one place in time. He has been risen, and now he is made Lord. Isn't that right? What's he made Lord of? Lord of lords. And what else? King of kings. Who's the kings and who's the lords? That's you. Amen? He has been risen. And as he is, 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, so are we now in this world. You get that? Not in the world to come. It's going to be good then too. But it's good now. Amen? Now are we the sons of God. As he is. Well, how is he? Well, he's doing fine. Isn't it right? He's doing pretty good. High and exalted, seated on the right hand of the Father. Oh, as he is, so are we. Where are you? Seated at the right hand of the Father. You're not in the devil's camp. You're not in the devil's area. You were translated. Do you get that? You were translated out of the kingdom of darkness. Out of the power of darkness is what it says. Into the kingdom of his dear son. You were translated. Taken out. The kingdom of darkness has nothing over you anymore. You don't even have to listen to it. Get that? As he is, so are you. Now. Right now. Now are we the sons of God. Amen? Do you get this? Do you realize all I'm doing is quoting scripture to you? I'm not having to do a whole lot of commentary, to be honest with you. Most of it's just pure scripture. I mean, come on, it gets pretty good with just scripture. Right? But you're going to have to start believing it. You're going to have to decide, that's true. And then when somebody comes up and says, well, you know, you always were this way. Right then, you just need to be just... I'm telling you, you know, almost everybody in the Bible that ever had an encounter with God, almost every one of them move. Amen? Abraham went out, didn't know where he was going. Why? Because it didn't matter. He's getting away from his family. He's leaving them. Leaving that whole bunch there in Ur. Right? He probably named that city. Every time he thought about it, probably, You know, he probably named it. Amen? But you need to realize, he left that city and went out, didn't even know where he was going. Why? Because it wouldn't matter. I mean, first off, we know that God knew where he was going. But the main thing is, wherever he went, wherever he put his feet, God would bless it. Isn't that right? Wherever he put his hand to, God would bless it. Now, why did he have it so much better than Christians? Oh, we got to find out where God is and go there. Oh, we got to find out what has God blessed and find out, you know, what to do it. Oh, Lord, you give us the plan and we'll do it. No, he said, you decide. He said, you decide. Go into all the world. Well, I'm just trying to figure out where the Lord wants me. All the world. Amen? Now listen, you can't pick and choose. You can't pick a part of a verse. Oh, I want power. I want to walk in the power of God. I want to see the sick healed. I want to see the dead raised. I want to cast out devils. Go into all the world. Nope, I'm going to sit right here. I'll make my own rules. No, you're not. It said to go and heal. Go and deliver. Go and preach. Not sit and preach. Not sit and heal. Not sit and deliver. Amen? You say, well, but I'm not called to be a preacher. Then you ain't called to be saved. Isn't that right? Mark 16 and Matthew 28 is for believers. It said they went everywhere preaching the word. And it said the Lord working with and confirming the word. He wasn't confirming apostles. He wasn't confirming prophets. He was confirming the word. He was confirming believers preaching the word. Do you understand? He was confirming the word that believers preached. We made this thing about, oh, this apostle, well, you know, if you're not an apostle, you can't tie in against a principality because, you know, it's the same look. Let me tell you, the smallest, youngest, newest Christian is above and more powerful than the strongest, oldest principality. You know what the difference is? You know how to tell if the Christian is going to beat the principality or not? Usually where they go to church. Because they've been taught, principality is more powerful than you. Don't tie into it. So they believe that. So the principality goes, yeah, I'm more powerful than you, so bow to me. But Jesus said that he has put us above principalities and powers. We're seated in heavenly places. We're his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Amen? And he is the head of the body. Well, if he's the head of the body and we're the body, it doesn't matter if you're the little toe on the body. You're still on the foot that under which God is going to crush Satan shortly. Amen? There is nothing good, there's nothing bad in this good news. You need to realize who you are in Christ. Now, we got all these scriptures. Let me say this and I'll send you to break. You know, one of the good things about heaven and future times and all that stuff is no time. Amen? You just preach and preach. Amen. He says, henceforth know we him no more. Obviously after the flesh. Therefore, why? Because we don't know him after the flesh. We don't know each other after the flesh. Because of that, if any man be in Christ. How many of you are in Christ? Okay. How many of you are not in Christ? Anybody not in Christ? Okay. If any man be in Christ, he is. Not he's going to be. He is a new creature. A new creation. Now listen, read along with me here. Old things are passed away. Isn't that right? Behold. What does that mean? Look, see, take notice. All things have become new. Now watch. And. That means that's a conjunction, ties two statements together. All these new things that we have. And all things are of God. You hear that? Old things are passed away. You're a new creature. Everything in you now, you're a new creature. Everything, all the old stuff is gone, and God has completely refilled you with new stuff. And all the new stuff he's filled you with is of God. There's nothing in there that's bad. That's why I said, acknowledge every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Do you realize if you do that, you'll do that the rest of your life? Why? Because there's so many good things. He's blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, Ephesians 1:3 says. Right? So if you just acknowledge the good things that are in you in Christ Jesus, you could spend the next 20 years. Do you realize if you do that, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You know what that means? You know what corrupt communication is? Things that lead to decay, things that lead to destruction, things that, anything that has to do without life. Anything dead is corrupt. Well, what is life? My words are spirit and they are life. So, if you're not supposed to let any corrupt communication come out of your mouth, what should you let come out of your mouth? Don't let this word stop coming out of your mouth night and day. Why? What are you supposed to say? Well, But be filled. Don't be filled with wine, wherein is there is excess. But be filled. Be being filled with the Spirit. How? By speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's one of the problems. One of the reasons why I got so much problems in the church right now is because we don't have hardly any spiritual songs. We got carnal songs. Oh God, I don't have you. I need you. Please come. Oh God, please show up. Oh God, oh Holy Spirit, show up. Fall. Do something, please. Those are all carnal. Okay, let me ask you this. You say, well, that's not carnal. Those are spiritual songs. Really? Okay, let me ask you this. How will you know when He shows up? Well, because when He shows up, I'm going to feel carnal. We walk not by sight. We walk not by feeling. We walk by faith. What does faith do? Faith accepts what the Word of God says as fact. You get that? All those songs are carnal. Anything that says you need, you lack, you're holding on, you're waiting for, any of that stuff, it's all carnal. Because how are you going to know when you get it? Because you're going to have to feel something. Oh, I felt goosebumps. Oh, I saw this. Saw that happen. That guy that's always so dead in church, he jumped up and ran. The Holy Spirit's got to be here. No, it's all going by sight. For all you know, mouse might have crawled up his leg. You don't know. It could be anything. Amen? I've seen some women dance in church that I guarantee there was a bug or something in her hair. You just watch how she does it. Right? You don't know what's going on. But we always go by sight. You can't go by sight. Your eyes will lie to you. Think about that. Your eyes will lie to you. Your feelings will lie to you. And you know, if you want to be somewhat safe, definitely don't eat before you go to church. If something doesn't sit with you right, say, oh, no, that just didn't bear witness. No, what didn't bear witness was that pizza you had. That's what didn't bear witness. Then you think it's the Holy Ghost. It's not by feelings, it's by faith. What does the Word of God say? The Word of God says that you shall receive power, ability, miraculous ability. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen? Now, how many of you have received the Holy Ghost? All right. Then guess what? According to the Bible, you got miraculous ability. Really? I don't feel like it. Well, it doesn't say you're going to feel like it. It doesn't say, but you shall feel miraculous ability. After that, the Holy Ghost come upon you. It doesn't say that. It says that you shall have, you shall receive. Isn't that right? So you just have to decide to believe the Word of God. Amen? Now, I don't know about y'all. I didn't preach myself happy. I'm excited. Amen? God is good. The Word of God is true. Amen? You ought to get in and read this stuff. This is good stuff. Start reading. Go on. It's about you. Isn't that right? You always want to read about you. Right? You want to talk about you, might as well read about you. Okay? This is the only time you can talk about you and get away with it. Right? And you can say it. It says, let the weak say, I'm strong. So if you feel weak, then what are you supposed to say? I'm weak? Just say, I'm strong. Well, I don't want to lie. It's not a lie. You say it because you believe it. And when you say it, it comes to pass. Why? Because you shall have whatever you say if you believe and doubt not in your heart. You see? That's what Charles Capps used to say. He said, God spoke to him one time and said, listen. He said, I told my people they can have what they say. And instead, they keep saying what they have. You don't need to tell God what you have. He knows what you got. He ain't going to surprise him with anything. He knew it was on its way to your house before you did. Amen? You need to tell him what you want, not what you have. Right? Tell him what he says is in you. Acknowledge these good things that are in you in Christ Jesus. You start acknowledging that stuff, you start building up resistance. And then when people start whispering in your ear all kinds of garbage, it just goes off you like water off a duck's back. I mean, it's just, you know, I don't believe anything you're saying. You know? Well, what makes you think that just because you say that, it's going to come to pass? It's not because I say it. It's because Jesus said it first. And I believe it. That's what makes me think that. And whenever you need help, guess who you're going to look up? You're going to be calling me. You know why? Because I believe the Word of God. See, that's what happens. These people blast you till they need you. Then all of a sudden, they're going to come up with reasons why, you know, now all of a sudden, used to you were wrong. Now you're gifted. Now you're special. No. Be in the Word of God. Amen? Finally, he said,
Behold, all things have become new and all things are of God. Who hath, past tense, reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Hear that? What did he do? He reconciled you. Now, the word reconciled, obviously it means to bring together. You know, if you reconcile two people that are at odds, you bring them together, they make up, right? But you know, the word reconcile also means to equal or to say the same thing. In other words, when you get your bank statement, you have to reconcile that with your checkbook. Isn't that right? Your checkbook has to say the same thing the bank statement says. Right? And when you reconcile the two, they have to say the same thing. So whenever he reconciled us to God, guess what he did? He said the same thing about us that he said about Jesus. He said the same thing. He said, what my son is, as he is, so are they. Right now, in this world. Amen? That's what God thinks about you. Then finally he says, watch this, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of waving fans. Didn't say that? Okay. And given to us the ministry of waving banners. Didn't say that either? He's given to us the ministry of suspicion. We have a gift of suspicion. And it works well. No, it's none of that, does it? You know what it says? He says he has given to us all one ministry. Well, brother, that's your ministry. This is my ministry. We have a different ministry. I'm not called your ministry. See, you have a healing ministry. And I have a do nothing but sit at the coffee shop ministry. No, you don't. Well, you know, that's just not my ministry because that's not my personality. Well, work on your personality till you get it. Right? You need to realize your ministry is the ministry he hath given to us, all of us, the ministry of reconciliation. He reconciled man. Now it's up to us to go and tell men, listen, God's not against you anymore. Really? Well, they said at church last Sunday that God hated me because I messed up. God doesn't like me because I did this. Well, they lied to you. Let every man be a liar, but let God be true. God said, I got nothing against you. So just come on in. He's left the door open. There's no reason why you can't come home. Amen? You just come on in and you welcome in and you just reconcile God. And you just tell him, reconcile this man, this person, back to God. Amen? Sin don't drop away because you blast it and point it out. Sin drops away whenever you realize how good God is. Because the goodness of God draws men to repentance. Amen? Y'all jump up, take a quick break. Yeah, let me ask y'all this. Y'all take a vote. Y'all want to quit now? Or y'all want to just keep going?
Keep going.
Keep going? I can go another 30 minutes, no problem. All right? Y'all want to do that? Y'all need a break? Okay, we're good. All right, let's keep going then. Now, let's read this next part. Where are we? Here we go. Yep. Now, I'm just going to read this here. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. This verse tells us that the new things that were put in us at the new birth were not of ourselves, but were actually created by God himself and put within us, making us brand new, and that everything in us is of God, by God, and from God. Nothing in you now is of or from yourself. Do you get that? You came to the table with nothing. Amen? You realize? You see, all these things, well, you know, I'm doing this so I'll be better used of God. No. Quit trying to help God. God doesn't need your help. He wants you to surrender. He wants you to say, you know what, God? I'm a mess and you know it. So right now, I just accept you. And you get born again. And God says, yeah, but you're not going to stay that way because I'm not going to leave you the way I found you. And then he changes you. And he says, now, go read the book and you'll find out what I put in you. And you'll find out who you are. And then you start recognizing who that is in you. Now watch. If you're not careful, whenever you start doing this stuff, and you start, if you get in church too much and people start telling you about all these different things, you'll start using those to try to think that you're gaining something with God. None of that gains you anything with God. If anything, it takes you further away from God because you're relying on it rather than the blood of Jesus, rather than on his righteousness. Amen? It's him and nothing else. Now, I'm not telling you not to do things. I'm just telling you, see, there's a difference. We do things out of gratitude because of what Jesus did, not out of trying some type of manipulation to try to get God to do something. You understand that? You just need to start now and realize it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. See, once you get that, then it's not about what you do. Now you just go about doing what He would do. And as you do, it's no longer your works. The Bible says in Hebrews, you go back and read it. I tell people all the time, the Bible's a good book. You ought to read it sometime. Because it's amazing. It says in Hebrews that if you have entered into His rest, you have ceased from your own works. And you entered into His rest with faith. The reason the Israelites couldn't enter into His rest is because they did not believe. Well, are you a believer? Do you believe? You believe in Christ, right? You believe in His good works, and because of His good works, you get into Christ, and you become accepted in the Beloved. Is that right? So if that's true, then you have believed, and you have entered into His rest. And if you've entered into His rest, then guess what? That means that now you have ceased from your own works. You say, oh good, I don't have to do anything. No. It doesn't say you've ceased from works. See, don't take anything out or put other stuff in. It doesn't say you've ceased from works. It says you've ceased from your own works. Now the works you do is no longer your works, but it's those of your Heavenly Father. You get it? Jesus said, the works that I do, it's not me that does them, it's the Spirit of my Father in me. He does the works. Isn't that right? Even Jesus didn't do it. Jesus said, it's the Father in Him. He does it. Well, if you're into Jesus, in Jesus, put it that way. A lot of people are into Jesus, but not in Jesus. But if you're in Jesus, then you have ceased from your works and everything. Now, this is the whole grace message. Now, it's not that you have to do things to get accepted by God. You get to do things because you're accepted by God. Now you get to lay hands on the sick. Now you get to raise the dead. Now you get to speak in tongues. Why? Because you're accepted by God and you've ceased from your works and now it's His works working through you. I've never healed a person in my life. Amen? Nobody in this room has ever healed a person. Not once. You know why? Because it wasn't my works. It was His works. I'm just doing what I would see my Father do. If He were here, I'm just doing that. You know? How do I know what He would do if He was here? Well, I watched my big brother. He did it first. And he only did what he saw his father do. So I'm just doing what he did. Right? Do you see this? Isn't this simple? Isn't this amazing? Do you realize that for the first couple of hundred years, roughly, they didn't even have this Bible? And we think we have to be theologians and know every jit and tittle. You get that? Jot and tittle. All right, I wasn't sure you heard it there. Do you understand that? You think you have to know it? Jesus even told the Pharisees, He said, you search the Scriptures because you think in them you find eternal life. And they are they which speak of me. You get it? But we've done the same thing. Now, understand, I'm all about the Bible. Hope you know that by now, right? What it says is true. But it's not just words on a page. See, it's not reforming your life. Well, if I live right and do what this says, then God will accept me. No, this tells you that God has accepted you if you're in Christ. Right? These words here don't give you eternal life. Jesus gives you eternal life. These words point you to Him. But as you find out what this eternal life is, and you start walking this out, now you start to live His life. But it's not because of what you do. It's because of the fact that He lives in you. And you've ceased from your works. And now you're doing His works. Amen? See, that's why this gets good, is because it's no longer you. That's why, see, if it was your works, then you'd have to think, well, do I have enough faith to pull this off? But if it's not your works, and if it's the Father in you doing it, then it's not about how much faith you have. It's about Him doing the works. All you got to do is show up and go, you know what? His word's true. And I'm not going to back off until we see it. Amen? You say, why do you want to see it? It's not that I want to see it. I want the people around me to see it. Because that's what He said. He said, let your light so shine that men will see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. But the church has said, oh, don't step out. Don't stand up. Don't stand out. Whatever you do. No. You just keep your head down. Be humble. No, that's not humility. You are depriving the Father of the glory that's rightly His because you're not doing the works. You understand that? It's a way to deprive the Father of glory. You should be doing the works. Why? Because everybody knows it ain't you doing them. Ask your family. They'll tell you. You go in and say, guess what I did? I've been out healing the sick. They go, well, it wasn't you. If it happened, I know it wasn't you because I know you. And I know you couldn't do any of that. Right? And you go, I know. Isn't God amazing? Isn't grace amazing?
That's what it is. Why? Because it's not what I did to make it happen. Amen? You get a hold of this? This is simple. You just go about giving out life. That's what Jesus said. Or Peter said about Jesus when he summarized his ministry in Acts 10:38. He said how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? For God was with him. You hear that? Not because he had a gift. Because God was with him. Emmanuel. God with us. So what should you do? If God is with you, shouldn't you go about doing good and healing all oppressed of the devil? Because God is with you. Isn't it right? You want to go back to Acts chapter 3 and what Peter said there? When he said, when they all came running and said, well, how did this lame man get healed? He was lame from the womb. And Peter said, why do you look at us? As though by our own power, my gifting as an apostle, my own gifting, you know, my special gift and all this, or by our own holiness. In other words, well, you know, because I fast and I pray. No, they hadn't even prayed yet. He was on his way to pray. Hadn't even prayed. He said, no, let me tell you. Now, the man himself said, let me tell you how I did this. It was the name of Jesus, faith in that name. Now, if you ain't got faith in that name, you're not born again. Amen? And if you have faith in that name, then guess what? You have what Peter said he used to heal a lame man. No feelings, no goosebumps, no anointings, none of that. Just the name of, do you realize, just the name of Jesus and faith in that name. We steal from Jesus his glory by talking about anointings and giftings and all this stuff. Rather than just saying, you know what? It's the name of Jesus. That at that name, everything that has a name has to bow its knee. Why? That's how good he is. That's how big he is. That's my big brother. That's how big our God is. Every devil has to bow its knee. When I mention his name, they tremble. That's how big my God is. You understand that? You see, rather than, well, let's see what gifting you have. Let's see what anointing. Let's see what mantle you walk under. Oh, let's try to get an open heavens. Come on. You don't need an open heavens when you're seated at the right hand of the Father. It doesn't get any more open than that. Amen? People, you know, well, we're just going to knock on the gates of heaven. We're just going to, you know, we're just going to go after the gates of heaven until they open. What, you know what? If you're knocking on the gates of heaven, it better be to get out, not get in. Amen? Because we have been brought into Him. We are seated in heavenly places. That's who we are. That's who Christ is in us. That's how big He is. That He has destroyed, spoiled all these principalities, powers, dominions, thrones, all this stuff. And then put them all under His feet and says, now boys, go get them. Show me what you can do. I've given you my name, my spirit. I've given you my power. I've given you my Holy Spirit. I've given you the Word of God. I've given you everything of God. I've blessed you with every spiritual blessing. What in the world are you waiting on? Well, we're waiting on the next prophet to come through. So he can lay his hands on me and give me a prophecy. I got my little prophecy book right here. 239 prophecies. Waiting for them all to come to pass. They ain't going to come to pass. Paul said, listen, you need to war a good warfare with the prophecies that have gone before. If God's given you a prophecy, you need to say, Father, you said. You said right here to the mouth of a prophet, this. And we thank you for it. We believe it. We believe this is your will, and we're heading that direction. And as you start to war that warfare, you watch it. The doors don't start just wide open. You ain't even got to kick them open. Amen? You war a good warfare with the prophecies. Okay? But you don't wait. You know what prophecies they're mainly talking about here? Right there. You realize Mark 16 is a prophecy. Jesus said, they that believe on me. Right? Well, John 14:12 is a prophecy too. That's the one I was quoting there. The works that I do, shall he. Actually, I don't say they because it doesn't say they. It says, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do because of the great anointings that's going to be upon him. That's not what it says? Well, because of the great giftings that's going to come through. Oh, because of the mantles, because of an open heavens. No, it says, because I go to the Father. Did he go? Then what are you waiting on? Amen? This is who you are. This is your birthright. This is your destiny, to be predestined, to be conformed to the image of Christ Jesus. Do you realize the honor in that? That the God of heaven and earth would look at His Son and say, I want everybody to be just like you. And then He makes it so that everybody does look just like Him. And He says, I'm going to make you, I'm not going to leave you the way I found you. Matter of fact, I don't even want you around anymore. We're just going to kill you and get you out of the way. And now it's no longer you that live, but my son that'll live in you. Amen? This is who lives in you. The problem is you won't talk like it. You won't act like it. You won't step out and be the son to somebody else. You want to wait for something. Goosebumps. Something. And he just said, go. Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel. Amen? All that stuff was a prophecy. He said that if you believe in him, he said, people, the believers, the ones who believe in him, will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That was a prophecy. Some of it had already happened, but now he had widened it to anybody that believes. Not just the 12, not just the 70, not even the guy we know out there that was casting out devils in his name. We don't even know who the guy was. You know, so much for this special thing. We don't even know who that guy's name was. And Jesus said, don't stop him. If he's doing miracles in my name, he won't speak evil of me. You see, they just believed. Just decide to believe. Believing is a choice. By faith, Moses chose to leave the comfort of the palace and to go suffer with the people of Israel. Faith is a choice. Amen? It's a choice. Decide to believe the Word of God. Decide not to live in doubt. Say no to doubt. Just decide. Nope. No doubt. I refuse to doubt. I believe the Word of God. Yeah, but you know, did God really say? Yeah, he really did. That's what he said. Well, you know, but maybe it's... No, it's not maybe nothing. It's because he went to the Father that I can do this. Well, but yeah, but you know, you hadn't prayed enough. Well, that's good then. It'd be more glory to God when he uses an unworthy vessel. Amen? See, one of the ways that you can tell the best trainers is they can take anybody and make them into a good fighter. Right? I mean, somebody's got natural skill. Somebody's that just... You look at some people and go, wow. That guy there, he is just a natural born fighter. He's got the build. He's got the mentality. He's got the genetics. I mean, he's quick. He's fast. He's strong. Wow. Just a natural born fighter. There's no glory in a trainer making him a champion. He came to the table with all the good stuff. Anybody could have taken him and made him a good fighter. The glory is whenever you got a trainer that can take the wimpiest, weakest, you know, most scaredy cat little person, you know, and you go, ha, hoo, I want to make you a fighter. Oh, you sure? I don't feel like a fighter. Yeah, yeah. You're my ringer. I'm going to send you in. The devil's going to, he's going to underestimate you. And as soon as he does, you're going to take his head off. All right? Let me tell you a story about David and Goliath. David was underestimated. Amen? But he ran toward the giant, and he didn't run. Go back and read the story. He did not run toward the giant with his mouth closed. He ran toward the giant saying, this day, God is going to give you into my hands. This day, I'm going to take your head off your shoulders. You don't even see a sword in David's hand. He didn't even have a sword. All he had was a sling. The whole time he was saying that, he was looking at Goliath's sword. Think about it. He didn't have a sword. He said, and you can't take a person's head off their shoulders with a sling. You can kill them. Once they're on the ground, you can take their sword and chop their own head off with it. That's what he was planning on. Amen? Yeah. But whenever you take somebody like that and turn them into a fighter, then the glory is not on the fighter. The glory is on the trainer. All of a sudden, the trainer gets a reputation. Man, he can take anybody and turn them into a fighter. Well, guess what? You got the best trainer in the world. His name is the Holy Ghost. Right? Let me tell you, he's got so much experience. Every healing that ever took place, he was there. He did it. He might have used somebody else, but I'm not saying he was there every now and then. Every time it has ever happened, he did it. And that's who lives in you. Amen? You're well equipped. How can you be under equipped or not ready whenever somebody like that lives in you? Now you just need to give him room to live. Amen? If you have the same spirit of Christ. Well, that same spirit that was in Christ wants to do the same things in you that he did in Christ. So it's time to let him do them. Amen? Okay, I'm going to keep going until y'all get revved up a little bit. I don't know. We'll be here at 7 o'clock, 9 o'clock. I'm on Texas time. I don't know what time it is here. It just doesn't matter to me hardly. Not sleeping weird hours anyway. Amen? When I get to sleep, after I'm reading this and can't go to sleep. This stuff, you know, it's so funny. I hear people say, man, I tell you what, if you ever want to go to sleep, just start reading the Bible. You just fall asleep. I'm like, man, what Bible are you reading?
You know, don't go and read the Psalms. You know, and the Lord is my shepherd. I mean, yeah, you might do that, but come on, man. Read over here in the epistles. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Right? Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Let's look for a fight. Right? Why? Because I'm guaranteed to win. Amen? We don't run from the battle, we run to the battle. Amen? That's the way things should be. At some point, God, listen, the devil and God are doing exactly the same thing. The devil, it says, he goes about as, not he is, he goes about as a roaring lion seeking those that he can devour. Right? He's looking for the ones, and he'll come along to your house and go, can I devour you? Yes. Ah, good. All right. But that God is doing the exact same thing, only the opposite. It says that the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro upon the face of the earth, seeking those, looking for those in whom he can show himself strong. And that devil comes knocking at your door and says, can I devour you? You need to go, no! You can't. Just in case you're deaf, let me say it again. Amen? You need to yell at him when he's on your sidewalk, not when he's at your front door. You need to tell him, get off my property. And don't go next door either. I like them people. Amen? Why? Because you are your brother's keeper. You're responsible. You go into a city, you heal the sick therein, in the city. Amen? Drive the devil out. Chase him. It's good to think in terms of warfare like that. To know that you can drive your enemy plumb out of your area and out of your territory. Amen? So, all right. Oh, I still got 10 minutes. Never mind. Stay seated. Don't want to waste any time here. Now, notice. Let's go to the next one here. Yes. Oh, there is a couple of scriptures I want to. Verse 19. To wit, or to know, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath, again past tense, committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Amen? He's committed to us. Now listen, remember whenever Cornelius was praying, and he had a vision, or actually an angel showed up, and said, go to this guy named Peter, and he's over here on Straight Street, and he's staying with Simon the Tanner. Remember that? And he said, he will tell you the way of salvation. Isn't that amazing? The man is praying, an angel shows up, and instead of the angel saying, now listen, what you need to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you and your whole house. That didn't happen. He shows up and says, listen, you want to get saved? Uh-huh. There's a man over here named Simon Peter. He's staying over here. Go find him. He will tell you how to get saved. Now, efficiency? That's not efficient. You would think that the angel would have just told him, right? You know why he didn't? Because the privilege of preaching the gospel was given to men, not to angels. And it's a privilege that you're letting lay on the floor instead of picking it up and honoring God by preaching the gospel. You think it's for a certain few people here and there. No, he has given to us all the ministry of reconciliation. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Why? Because God was in Christ reconciling himself and reconciling the world to himself. Amen? Amen? And he said, if God can be in Christ and send Christ to preach, you can sure get up off your rear end and go do it yourself. Amen? Well, we're going to pray that there be revival in China. Well, there will be as soon as you get up and go there. I'm not against praying for it, but at some point you got to put feet to your prayers. Get up and go there. Amen? Well, you know, I can't go to China. Good, I agree. Go next door. See, now you got no excuse. Right? We're already making it easy on you. Don't even have to go around the world. Matter of fact, you can go out, I guarantee, right here in Toowoomba. And if you go out in the streets, you'll probably find pretty much every nationality, every ethnic group, somewhere in the area. Amen? I know you will in Melbourne. I know you will in Sydney. I know you will all around here. Why? Because the world is so mixed now. And whatever you do to a person, let me tell you, if you get a Hindu person healed in Sydney, they will hear about it in Calcutta. You know why? Because they are connected. They know everybody. Everybody knows everybody. And they'll call home. Yeah, they did this and this. They'll tell everybody. It's the same thing back in the States. We see it all the time. Whenever I was preaching in a Russian church,
They actually had it beaming by internet into Russia. That's preaching live in Russia. Admitted it was about 4 o'clock in the morning. But we had people watching. They stayed up all night just to watch the sessions. And I had a man interpreting it for me or translating it for me into Russian. And now it is all over Russia, Ukraine, Estonia, Latvia, you name it. It's in Kiev. One of our Bible school students that graduated last year went back to Kiev. Went back in there. It's all over. The gospel is getting out into every nation, every ethnic group. And Jesus didn't just say any gospel. He said this gospel of the kingdom has to be preached in every nation, to every nationality, every ethnic group. And see, we've had Christian preaching for a long time. But the gospel of the kingdom, honestly, hadn't been preached that long. It's just started to reach out. Right? And we all know, or you probably know, about the Smith Wigglesworth prophecy about Africa, about Australia, and about even Tasmania and the southern, you know, the uttermost parts of the earth is what he said. And in that, he prophesied that whenever revival broke out on the southern coast of Australia and into Tasmania and across into, I think, also over toward New Zealand, he said when revival breaks out there, that will be the beginning of the last revival, and after that it will usher the Lord's return. So what are y'all waiting on? So y'all holding everybody else up? Y'all got to get busy. Amen? Notice, and I do want to read a couple more here. To know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now here we see that we are ambassadors for Christ, messengers sent on an official mission as legal representatives of Christ. We see that God uses us to literally beg men to come to be reconciled to God. And that now we are doing the beseeching in Christ's place. You hear that? That's our job. This is our job. Verse 21, for he has made him, Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see that change? He was made sin for us that we can be made the righteousness of God in Christ. That's your standing. The word righteous means literally. Now listen carefully. This is not your standard, what you might have heard. Because I know it wasn't what I heard. The funny thing was, I went and looked it up. What I've heard was, to be made righteous means to be able to stand in God's presence without fear, inferiority, or any sense of lack or anything like that. Okay? And I agree, that is a definition. But the literal definition, the actual definition of the word righteous, if you were made righteous, and if you're in Christ, you were, and you are. It means, now listen to this definition, this is amazing, to be made what you ought to be. You get that? When you were made righteous, you were made what you ought to be. You know what that means? It means you were complete in Him. It means you're not lacking anything. It means you don't have to have anything added to you. It means that you are what you should be. God did that. He made you what you ought to be. Isn't that amazing? You know, that means that there's nothing between us. I'm not lacking anything. Matter of fact, that means that I can understand because I have His Spirit. I can understand the things of God because I'm not lacking anything. I've been made what I ought to be. I understand righteousness. I understand right standing. We can walk together. God and you can walk together. Amen? Now, he says, now we can see how God reconciled us back to himself through the substitution of Christ for us. This is the great substitution verse. Christ became what we were so that we might become what he was. Now our righteousness is of God and from God and has nothing to do with how good we might be. How good we are has to do with our gratitude back to God. Okay? Doesn't change anything. Now, we then, in chapter 6, verse 1, we then as workers together with Him. Hear that? We're workers together with Him. That means if you're not working, He doesn't get the job done.
You get it? We are workers together with Him. We beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. In other words, don't just sit back and do nothing. Don't use grace as an excuse for, well, it's all done, I don't have to do anything. No, let grace, it talks about you walking and growing in grace. What that means is you learn to rely on the fact that Jesus has paid the price, and now you step out further and further and further, and you start healing the sick and raising the dead and casting out devils, and you're doing things, and it has nothing to do with what you think about you. It has to do with what God thinks about you, and it has to do with what Jesus did for you. Get you off your mind. Don't even think about you. Right? Don't even let you come up. You start thinking, yeah, but you know, I just don't... No, stop right there. Stop right there. Don't say I. It's Him. It's no longer I that live, but Christ. Talk about Christ. What can Christ do? What can He do through you? Well, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world, so He can do some pretty good things. Amen? Quit talking about you. Talk about Him. Find out what He said happened in you and talk about what He did in you. Amen? You acknowledge those things, every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. You say, Chris, you know, we could have got out of here in an hour and a half if you quit repeating yourself. Well, if you get it, I'll quit repeating myself. All right? But this is how you remember it, and this is how you get it. This is how I got it. I started just saying these things and looking at them and reading them and saying them out loud and changing them. When I go in and I'd read it, and when I read it, I would read it with emphasis on different words so it would register differently in me. See? I would say things like, instead of just saying it, well, for He has made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ, I start out and I say, for. There's a reason. For. He has made Him to be sin for us. Right? And I read the whole thing. Then I emphasize, for He. He, not me, He has made Him to be sin for me. He hath. You hear that? I'm emphasizing each word. You know what that is? That means if you go through and count every word, that means that you will have said it as many word, as many times as there are words there. And by the time you get done, it'll be there. And you just emphasize each word strong, and it builds into you. Amen? And many times when you do that, you'll find out it'll hit you differently. And you'll realize it wasn't just to be quoted like written. This is something that He was saying. He was emphasizing that He was putting into these people. Then, finally, He says, in this verse, we're again reminded that we're in union with Christ, working in conjunction with Jesus, just as Jesus was working in conjunction with God. Just as God was in Christ working, He is working in us because we are now in Christ. Amen? Now, let me give you, I'll give you two verses. The first one you already know, I already read it to you, is Colossians 3:10. It says, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Take that verse and remember it. Go and read it. Study it. Your new man, who you are inside, is recreated in the image of Jesus. That's what's in you. That's you. That's the real you. Okay? Now, and let me read one more to you, because this is important. Go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 14. Paul says, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. The world ain't got no hold on you, because you are dead to it. You understand? Now, listen to this. The church has made a big deal out of a service. Gather, the more people we get, the more we pray, the more the power can fall, the more change can be done. We start playing the music, then music's anointed. People can get out of wheelchairs because of the music. We create this atmosphere. It's all about a service, which is to gather you together in one place at one time. We've made everything about the Christian life about a service. From that, we've made it into about an anointing, about a gifting, and that's all within the context of a service. Yeah. We've made it all about something that's supposed to happen in a point in time rather than something that has happened at a point in time. Now, watch. Here's where we made our mistake. We made our mistake in making the entire Christian life about a service, an individual service. Watch. Verse 15. He just said the world was crucified to him and him to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision. Stop right there. In other words, me keeping the law or not keeping the law doesn't mean a thing in the world in Christ. You know what counts in Christ? Now watch. But a new creature. Do you get that? The only thing that counts is being a new creation. Being a new creature. Being recreated after the image of Him that died for you. Amen? That's the only thing that counts. The law, not the law, this thing, these rules, that rules, none of that counts in Christ. Right? Now, in Christ, the only thing that counts is, are you a new creature? Are you born again? Are you changed? If you are, that's the only thing that counts. And that's it, the amazing thing is, we've made the entire Christian life, instead of making it about this new man, this new creature, we've made it about a service. When in reality, it was always about this new creation. Everything about it was this new creation. And the bad part is, we have studied. You go to Bible school, most Bible schools, ours don't teach this, but most Bible schools you go to, they're going to teach you how to do a worship service. How to start out fast, get everybody in, get them seated, get them feeling good, get them built up, pumped up. All right, now we're going to turn it down. Now we're going to move into the worship time of giving. Now we're going to pass the bucket, and you want this played in the background. Put up some things about missions. Put up some things showing some poor, hungry people. To really pull on your heartstrings to make you give. And they'll tell you. And then as soon as that, now we move into the time of what they call worship music. And now that worship music is very psalm, you know, it's very somber and calm and quiet. And now you want them focusing on God and how unworthy you are. And, oh God, please come. Oh God, touch me. See, we're moving into that service mentality. Rather than what we should have been focusing on the whole time, which is understanding this new creation. Understanding this new man that was created, that Paul said, listen, you want the mystery? This is the mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the mystery. What God did in Christ for you, took you out of the picture, and Jesus beat the devil for you. So now He can hand off the bat that He beat the devil with, and you can step up and you can finish the job. Has nothing to do with who you are, what you've done, or anything else. Has to do with who He is, what He's done. Amen? But we've made everything about a service, and then when we leave, we wait for it to die off. Well, you know, the reason no miracles is because there's too much unbelief here. Really. So I guess the devil is stronger than God. If unbelief can stop your faith, I guess the devil truly was stronger. No, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Shall their unbelief make my faith of null and void? No. Why? Because greater is He that's in me, the spirit of life, the spirit of faith that's in me, than the spirit of doubt and unbelief that's in the world. And I can overrule their unbelief. I can overrule their doubt. Why? Because greater is He that's in me. Amen? The one that's in me beat the one that's in them. And then made a show of it. Right? Took video and put it on YouTube. Amen? And just made an open show. Y'all get anything out of this today?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to pick up in the morning. So we're going to let you go. I'm going to pray for you. All right? Now, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we bless You. Lord, we thank You for all that You provided for us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank You. And Lord, we apologize and repent for not having shown more honor in times past for what You've accomplished. But Father, starting now, henceforth, we know no man after the flesh, but after the Spirit. From now on, we know others and ourselves based on who we are in the Spirit, which is a new man, a new creation, created after the likeness of Jesus Christ, predestined to be conformed to His image. Father, we thank You. And we thank You for the renewing of our minds. And Father, I thank You right now. That even as I speak, that healing, deliverance, freedom, right now, is working in Your people. By Your Spirit, not falling upon them, not by hands, but coming in and out of their spirit, and Your Spirit making their mortal bodies alive, quickening, healing, and setting free because of the Spirit that is in us. Raise Christ Jesus from the dead. So, Father, I thank you for it right now. And in Jesus' name, sickness and disease, you will hear and obey the voice of the Word of God. You will leave these people now. I break your power. You have no right here. Jesus destroyed you, defeated you, and now we're here to enforce it. So I command you, pain, go in Jesus' name right now. Sickness, disease, everything that has a name, right now I use the name Jesus. And I say, in the name of Jesus, you will bow your knee. You will retreat. You will flee as if in stark terror from the name of our God and of our King. In Jesus' name, right now. In Jesus' name, sickness and disease, torment, ailments, mental anguish, I command you, go in Jesus' name. Loose them now. You have no place here, no right here, and you will go in the name of Jesus. Your power has been broken, and in Jesus' name, I set the people free. Right now, I command you, be healed and whole. I set you free based on the name of Jesus and the Word of the living God. By His stripes, you were healed. And if you were, you are. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just begin to do what you couldn't do before. You are dismissed. God bless you. See you in the morning. In the morning, come and let me know what took place this evening. And even while you sleep, let me know what's going on. Healings will take place. We expect them to be taking place. So let us know. Amen. God bless you.